could open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, has it been a good day?
Amen.
Amen. It's been a good day. Lord gave me this passage. This is before Sunday, actually, and I was dwelling on this. 1 Peter chapter 1, and verses 3, 4, and 5, they all comprise one sentence. Period at the end of verse 5 is the end of one really long sentence. And I was in this passage. There's so much in this passage. I've been asking the Lord, what in the passage should I present? There's the Godhead. You can see the presence of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit there in verse 3. There's the blessed hope and lively hope. There's the resurrection of Christ. Very much to talk about. But today I'll tell you what, I came in and I was feeling the body aches, you know, the kind of that just general bad feeling that you get. I went home and took some cold medicine and rested a little bit and came on back later in or in the afternoon anyway, and continued working with it, and finally the Lord just led me to this thought in the passage, reasons that we can worship God. Reasons that we can worship God. And the reason I say it that way is because one of my habits when I'm feeling that way is I tend to go ahead and just and get on my knees and offer up some worship to God. I do that. I'll kneel by my bed or if I'm sick in the office like that, I'll go over to that little couch and take time and just offer up adoration to the Lord. And so I was in the midst of that today when the Lord said, this is what you need to bring out of the passage. So that's where we are. And between me and the Holy Spirit and coldies, we're going to try and get this across to you. Coldies is medicine I just learned about. It's cold medicine. So, yeah, y'all look way too serious there. I thought I better, you know, if you had to explain your jokes, my kids tell me this all the time. If you have to explain your jokes, you're really not that funny. praise the Lord. All right, well, in verse number 3, I want you to see something here. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When it says, blessed be, have you ever considered that what blesses God is not the same things that bless us? You see that word blessed or blessed through Scripture. In the Old Testament, there's at least a couple of places where the meaning of that word has to do with the bestowments or the unloading of the benefits of God upon us to bless us. When you read the prayer of Jabez, Lord bless us indeed. That's what he's saying, to bestow his benefits upon us. But in some places, most places, it means to be made what? Happy. Obviously, happy by God. In Psalm 1, which says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Happy is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but in the counsel of the godly. You see? Happy is. And in the New Testament, most places, it's dealing with the same thing. Happy is. But in the New Testament, and I'm not one to play around with Greek meanings. I'm no Greek professor, heaven forbid. I'd use a strong concordance, though, a Strong's Concordance. And you can study this word blessed and find, you don't even need the Strong's to learn some of these things, really. That blessed, maybe you wouldn't need it to nail this down. That the word that was given to us for blessed when it's aimed at God is a different word than the one that is aimed at man in the New Testament. In other words, there's something different that blesses God. And if you take time and look this word up and study it, learn the meaning of it, when it is dealing with God, blessed be God, bless God. To bless God, that word means adorable or to be able to adore, to adoration and worship, these things are much the same. In other words, that which blesses God is not the unloading of His benefits upon Himself, right? And to the things that make Him happy, I mean the delivering, as it's going to go on through in verse 7, 8, 9, and deal with the trials of the faith, being delivered through the trials of the faith, as the fourth man in the fire might go with me, I'm blessed indeed that way, but that's not what blesses God. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you some advice or some encouragement in this area. The only thing that you have that would bless God is indeed your worship. That's it. Your adoration. This is all you have that He desires. Your submission. Your placement under Him. He wants you. Short of that, there is no blessing God unless it involves my submission to Him, the worship, the prostrate, the body language. That's why people kneel. It's the body language says what's going on the inside. Yes? The worship of God is indeed what blesses Him. Study the Word, you'll find that that Word has everything to do with offering up our adoration. So this verse begins with blessing God through our adoration, making Him happy through our worship, our adoration. Get it?
Yes.
That's how it starts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Offer up my worship. It's what makes Him happy. And then it says, with which according to His abundant mercy. Now listen, whatever He says after that, whatever He says that He did, is born out of His mercy upon us. Whatever He says, whatever comes next, whatever He's going to send to us in the next line or two, was born out of the mercy of God on mankind. It was that which we do not deserve. His loving kindness for us, that was undeserved. Mercy and grace are not the same thing, though they're probably as close as they can be without being the same thing. The mercy of God would be His loving kindness that I do not deserve. He just has mercy upon me. His grace would be His response to His own mercy and showing favor to me. The two are divinely connected. One really doesn't happen without the other. God has mercy upon us. And what He says here, He says, blessed be the God and Father, that is, make Him happy through that worship, that adoration that I have for Him. It says, which, and He's going to give reasons for doing that. Reasons for making Him happy. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't need a reason to worship God. None of us do. Hey, we're born with this innate, this indwelling desire to worship Almighty God. You have that in you. People who deny that are just telling you a story. You ever been in a debate with somebody? You don't even intend to get there. You're just talking about how people are in. I have been in conversations talking about how people just desire to worship, and some deny it. I can only remember two or three. I was thinking it through today. Two or three that I could really nail down in memory, conversations like that. But each one, before they're done denying that there's a desire to worship, they're singing the praises to their own selves. They're offering up worship to their own self, talking about how great they are. Everybody desires to worship. Wherever your God is where your worship will go. Not only that, and this isn't even in the text, it's not a part of this message, it's free. But along with worship, usually service is attached. If there's genuine worship, there's going to be service attached. Serving of God. But if I'm worshiping a false god, I'll offer them my service as well. It just goes together. So it says, worship. But he says, which according, he's going to give us some reasons, according to his abundant mercy, mercy that is overflowing, hath begotten us again. Whew. Now, if you don't go any further than that, you know it's good. Begotten us again is just like saying born again. Given new life. Begotten is to be born. You ever get bored with the begats and the begots? But you know what they are. Adam begat. Who followed Adam? Adam begat Seth. You know? I'm not going any further because I was trying to memorize them so I could impress you with that. But, those names run in my mind together. So I'm not going to try and impress you. But it's to give life to. And here he says, it's not even, now he is talking about the born again experience, but that's not what he's referring to giving life to in this passage. He's giving life to something else. It says, hath begotten us. Now, it's us. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not denying the born-again experience or anything like that. It's us, and it is through that experience. But it says, unto a lively hope. What he's talking about is through the born-again experience, he also gave life to hope. You ever hear the preacher say, those who are lost in sin, they have no hope. This is what they're referring to. With the new birth comes a new hope. A lively hope. That word lively, it means alive, full of life, overflowing with life. Now I'm trying to give you a reason to worship God this evening. Okay? There's all kinds of stuff to talk about in this sentence. But here's a big one that makes worshiping God a reality in my life. Listen to this. He gives us hope. Hope that's alive. Why is it alive? Hey, listen. It's because it's not like a... You ever hear somebody talk about a blind faith? I've had people describe Christianity as a blind faith. It's not blind. The hope isn't blind. It's not an empty hope. It's full of meaning and purpose. Why? Because the hope that I have in Christ Jesus is as alive as the resurrection is real. As much as the resurrection stands, my hope is sure. And I don't have to second guess. I don't have to wonder what waits for me. I know what waits for me because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Hey, He's a good God. Amen. I can trust Him. It's not just a lively hope. Hey, I have a living hope. I have a living Christ. Look with me in Luke chapter 24. A reason to want to bless God. A reason to want to make God happy through my worship. My adoration for Him. Verse number 1, Luke 24. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They didn't need no spices. Certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? He wasn't there. He wasn't there. It says, and they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, best news we heard all day, but they were perplexed. Much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living? What did he say? Why seek ye the living among the dead? What did he call Jesus? He's the living. And he says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Hey, listen, he's not here because he's risen. He is the living God. Hey, listen to me. It's not only just a lively hope, and it's not lively because it's exciting. It's lively because it's built and based upon a living God. Someone who's alive. He died. He took the penalty. He took the judgment for my sin. He stood the judgment for me and you.
Yes.
And he died. He carried my sin with him to the grave, buried it. Hey, it's gone. Gone. My sins are all gone. And they're gone forever. And he died with them. But praise be to God Almighty. Hey, listen to me. He's not there anymore. He's a living God. He's living not among the dead. He's alive. Amen. He's a living God, a living Savior. He's Jesus Christ. He is a living Savior. So we have a living hope that's based upon a living Savior. As a matter of fact, here's a thought for you. Hebrews chapter 4. And it's recorded in a living book. Praise the Lord. It says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the Word of God is what? Quick. What does that word mean?
Alive.
Alive. Yeah. The Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's living. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And, I turned the wrong page. Got excited. I'm going to finish reading that because I want to finish reading it. It says, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a living book. Hey, listen to me. We have a living hope that's based on a living Savior. And we have it recorded in a living book. They've tried to get rid of the book for millennia. And there has been none to rise up victorious over the book that's alive. A living book. He's alive. He's alive. Hey, listen, aren't you thankful? Would you be sitting here tonight if Jesus were not alive? Where would we be? I probably wouldn't know any of you. I'd probably already be in hell right now, the way my life was headed. It's scary to think about, isn't it? That alone. And I fear we may not get to any of the stuff I was excited about. This alone is enough to make it worth my while to just pull up a couch somewhere and kneel and fall, maybe even prostrate on the floor and cry out to a holy God and just offer up my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Hey, listen, He's a good God. He is a good God. He is worthy of my praise. He's worthy of adoration. He is worthy of sacrifice. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of anything I might bestow upon Him, anything I might have that I consider important. Oh, that I could bring it and just lay it at His feet. And yet, all of those things aside, all I really have that He wants is my own adoration and worship for Him. It will bless Him, make Him happy. Isn't that good? It's worth our while to do that. These things are bestowed upon us because of His abundant mercy. He looks at us, and all He sees are people who need His help. He's a merciful God. He hath begotten us. He's given us life again unto a lively hope, a living hope. And it comes, we've already talked a little bit about it, by the resurrection. Aren't you thankful for the resurrection? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's not among the dead. Not among the dead. Jesus is alive. I have to tell you, it'd almost be good enough right here. I mean, we have a few more minutes, but if right here we just made our way down and knelt at the altar, wouldn't that be good? I'm going to give you a little bit more, though. I want you to consider reasons that we can worship God. The sentence continues. He says these first three words, this next verse, to an inheritance. You know, before I met Jesus, I had nothing. I was so foolish, I didn't even know that I had nothing. I had little that this world has to offer, though I wanted more of that. But in lieu of eternity, I simply had nothing. Nothing. I mean, everything that I had and everything temporal still that I have will one day burn up in a fire. It will one day be gone. 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 I had nothing. I had nothing. But listen, the only other auditorium I ever saw in my life, it was all red. I was sitting back there where Mike Hopper is, wearing my U.S. Air Force t-shirt in Clovis, New Mexico. And I've been in church all my life. Grew up in a little country church on the side of a country road, 10 miles outside of a country town in Alabama. And I've been to the altar a bunch of times. I've wept, but I never realized you're supposed to pray. I didn't know that's what it's for. And I got up, but I was in the invitation that day in the Air Force, 1,000 miles from home. And the invitation started. It was about halfway done. They'd hit just as I am about seven times. And I got up and I walked down. I figured whatever I needed, I'd come near getting it down here. Made my way across the front. I knelt right there. Right there. And a guy came up, led me to Christ. I knew what to do at the altar then. It was good. I knew about praying then. Hey, listen, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to tell you where I'm at, aren't 1 Peter chapter 1. I just realized that. All of a sudden, I had an inheritance. I have an inheritance. Now, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes along the way, and I have. And I made a mess out of things for years after I got saved. I still have an inheritance. I didn't blow that. You know what's good? You can't blow that. I mean, now I know there are rewards. And we know. We've talked about the judgment seat of Christ. And we've looked at it in detail a couple of times. And the crowns. And we know that. But listen to me. There's some of it you can't lose. You can mess up. But you still get to go where the good stuff is. Let me share some of it with you anyway. In Revelation chapter 20. I just want you to see this. Hey, listen, it's the inheritance. The inheritance. If we have time, we'll talk the Bible. It says four things in the following verse about the inheritance. I want to show you some things in the inheritance. I just want you to leave here tonight with good reason to fall on your knees and worship God. There is good reason. You have good reason to worship God. Hey, listen, if nothing else, it will make Him happy. It'll bless God. It'll bless Him. Revelation chapter... Oh, I told you 20. You don't want to go there. No, I'm in 21. I'm sorry. It's one verse later. Oh. Hey, listen, it says, saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know, right now we believe our loved ones are going on to be with Jesus. Their souls go to be with Him, bodies in the ground. They go to be with Him in the air. But in this passage, it says that New Jerusalem, it comes down. Have y'all ever noticed that? It says that in verse number... Well, I'll just finish reading verse 1. It says, "For the first heaven and the first earth," that's this one, "were passed away. There was no more sea." Now that first heaven is dealing with atmosphere around the earth. When it's in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here, He destroys it. Burns it all up. And it tells us He burns it up in 2 Peter. But it says, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven. And if you wonder whether or not you're there, it says, prepared as a bride. And where do you remember that language from? The bride of Christ. Hey, praise the Lord. That happened just a couple of chapters back. And it says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the tabernacle saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." That's good right there, isn't it? Hey, that's worth... You could almost say amen in a Baptist church over that, right? Almost, I know. Just almost. We'll get to a good spot later. It says, they shall be His people. Whoops, let me back up. It says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Hey, glory to God. Amen. Oh, and I bet in that day there'll be no trouble bowing prostrate before Him. There won't be anybody saying, "I don't have to bow my knee, I do it in my heart." Really? Really? Hey, I'm gonna tell you, if you can't get the body to do it, I bet you're struggling in here too. I just bet that. Hey, listen, it says, "They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God." And what does He do next? He does it another time. He wipes away their tears in chapter 7 and verse 7. Right after the tribulation saints are coming in. And He begins to wipe away their tears. Revelation 7, or is it 27? I can't remember. But He begins to wipe away their tears then. And now at another time, you know what those people, those tribulation saints had just seen? The wrath of God being unleashed on mankind. And then they lose their heads, it says. And they come on in and they're ushered in. And it says that He wipes away their tears. In this place, He's wiping away tears again. They've just seen in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment, they just seen the wrath of God being unleashed on mankind again. One person at a time. And now God's wiping away tears again. I can testify that God knows how to wipe away tears. Even today, all those things haven't come yet. He knows how to wipe away your tears. And He does it on a daily basis for some of us. Hey, listen, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We have some tears to shed between now and then. But in the end, He'll wipe them all away. You have to believe that some of these terrible memories will be gone. I don't know. I'm not sure how it works. But it says there shall be no more death. This is part of the inheritance. There should be no more death. Aren't you glad of that?
Yes.
Separation. we sorrow over those who go on. It isn't really for them. They're going to be with Jesus. It's really our loss. We miss them. It says, neither sorrow. Aren't you glad of that? You ever had some sorrow? He says he'll get rid of all that. It says, neither crying. He helps us with the tears, and some things are so bad. Even a grown man, you guys relate to this. Some things just cause us to cry. Breaks our hearts. But God delivers us from that. It has to be that those things will not be before us anymore. Things that make us weep. Neither shall there be any more pain. You know, it says any pain. I know it means physical pain, but boy, I'm guessing probably heartaches. It says no pain. I'm so glad there'll be no pain there.
Amen.
It says the former things passed away. If we mention nothing else tonight, the knowledge that this day is coming makes God worthy of our worship. Offer up the sacrifice of praise. Makes Him worthy of our adoration. Just to know that one day He'll deliver us from all of this.
Praise God.
All of this. You know, there's more, but there's a lot more to say. But tonight, our purpose, as I believe the Lord's leading, is to give you reason. Reason that's good enough that it might be worth your while to offer up worship to your God. Let's stand to our feet. I'm just going to slide up here, and I'm going to open the altar, and I see Anita making her way to the musical instrument. As soon as you get there, go and begin playing. This is kind of informal tonight. Listen, if God spoke to your heart, I'm not going to try and talk you down. Why not just make use of the aisles? Just step out into the aisle. Make your way down to this old-fashioned altar. Let God have His way with you. God speak to your heart tonight. God speak to your heart tonight. Many have come. Good number have come. Maybe you join them. Maybe God spoke to you. Hey, listen. Has God given you a good reason to worship Him tonight? Simple invitation. I love doing that. It makes it so easy. So easy. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And a short time after that, it'll all come to an end. And this opportunity will be passed.